So, we're back.
We're back.
Back again, again.
Gengar's in my lap. Time for recording.
Gengar's in my lap. Yeah. Soju in my tummy.
And life's
headphones
good.
On.
Life's good. It's a Gengar squishmallow, too.
It is.
For the haters out there, the jealous.
I should have brought in my cinnamon roll squishmallow, but she lives in my car, so that's where she exists.
Squish pals.
It might be a little troublesome to have your entire reality shift.
Exactly. I don't want to do that to her, so
might break her down a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, yes, the baby. Well, some of the babies are here. We are missing two of our core pillars, but two of the babes could not join, but
a triangle still stands strong.
Yes.
Yeah.
And who are the three points of this triangle today?
We also have honorary member Momo, who
is currently scratching the paint and making sure we won't get our renter's deposit back.
You want to talk in the mic, Momo?
Oh, he's chewing on it.
Don't.
No, Momo.
Say something, buddy. You want to say something to the people?
Hey, Momo.
No.
So we have sweet dear Momo.
MK is here.
Yosh.
And Olivia.
Yeah.
And mini crew.
Oh, mini crew, yes. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily a mini-sode.
Not necessarily a mini-sode, because there is a lot to cover.
Sometimes there's champagne. Today it's soju.
Today it's soju.
Momo soju.
It is Momo's namesake. It was peach-flavored. It's springtime. It's
It is spring. The soju for our sojourn. As we sit and discuss. The winter. 2023. Mm-hmm. This season. And now, literally, as soon as we start recording, all of the cats are like, "It's time to make my debut."
Aww,
like
a Scrapple.
Like it's like when people are in the background, like "Good Morning America," waving in the camera. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like the cats are doing that for a podcast. Right, trust me, Script. It's not the same audience.
Well, me and Script talked, and she'd have a lot to say about the winter seasonals. So, I'll speak on your behalf. Fret not. So yeah, we're doing winter seasonals. Mm-hmm. And then are we touching on any spring stuff? Yay or nay? Moving forward?
We could maybe like touch like
some
briefly.
Teasers.
Just a little tease.
I've only seen like three or four
like a brush.
E1s.
A brush.
So.
Mm-hmm. A slight whiff.
Yeah, because I guess we're not doing the preview episode. If you're hearing this, then you've probably already seen that the super seasonal is out.
Woohoo!
2022.
Which is covering 2022. We got more content coming. We're going to be doing this stuff more frequently. I wonder if any early listeners are wondering what's happened. We're not going to tell you, but we can tell you that there's going to be more. So don't worry. It's not done. This isn't dead. You know, on the third year, we rose and rolled the stone.
Oh, my God.
And, because we're recording this on Easter weekend.
It's Good Friday. No, wait, that was yesterday. Is there a name for Saturday?
Good Friday, better Saturday,
is
best Sunday.
Sad Saturday. Everyone thought Jesus was dead.
Everyone thought he was dead. And then also, just for context, tomorrow I will receive, like I do every year from my mother, I will receive a text from my mother with an image that is usually ripped Jesus and a text in all caps that says, "He is risen." And that will be how I celebrate Easter.
Who ripped Jesus?
I don't know, his abs. It's always like a sexy Jesus or something.
Love it.
And then all caps, "He is risen today."
Is there going to be a new one, though? It's like, "He is riz."
Oh, there's so going to be. Wow, you really are on the money with that. There is absolutely
Jesus.
Going to be a lot of people making memes about, like, "He is risen."
Jesus Christ risen.
For the record, I said it before Easter, so if you look back now and you're like, "Oh, there."
Timestamp this.
Yeah, timestamp.
Yeah.
Timestamp. Okay.
Official.
Yeah.
Well, how did you guys feel, I guess, before we get into things, like, overall, how did you feel about the winter seasonals?
I was not expecting much. I think the fall was so packed and full, and I was like, "Oh, yay, a nice breather." And then somehow still felt very committed to and hard, had trouble keeping up with a lot of the winter shows.
I feel the same way. I think I agree with you. Fall was so jam-packed, and also there was a lot of anticipation, you know, at least around like Chainsaw Man, things like that, that really carried it for me, that I wasn't expecting a lot either. And I can't say I'm disappointed because I didn't expect anything, but I also, it was mid.
Mid.
It was mid.
Yeah. No, I feel like this winter season for me was just like a time to sober up from the fall. Like there was just so much that happened in the fall that I was like, I had anime intoxication. And like the winter was just so chill and like.
Your tea break.
Yeah, it was a bit of a tea break. I mean, you know, we'll get into it. There were certainly shows I was excited for, but not anywhere on the level of what the fall was.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I my expectations were a little bit lower heading in to the winter.
Speaking of low expectations, if we're going to hop into talking about stuff, should we talk about our biggest disappointment and like get that out of the way so we can work up?
Sure,
yeah.
Do we all have the same biggest disappointment?
I wonder, I'm actually really curious.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
I mean, it's the one on the list that we all dropped.
Should we all say it at the same time just to see?
Yeah.
Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Buddy daddies.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a huge disappointment. And you know what? I had the ending spoiled for me on TikTok. Like, I saw the edits, and I was like, okay, me cool, too. That's great. But it's also crazy to think that, like, okay, even the creators knew this is a one-season, one-off, we're done,
yeah.
Nothing else, we're wrapping it up, full story.
It had no life past
literally, if that fucking kid was not so annoying, mm-hmm. I would have kept watching.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, even with the whole, like, oh, it's, you know, some people were mad that it was like queer baiting, but I kind of think it's a funny, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like, oh yeah, they're roommates, which I kind of, yeah, I kind of
they're
delight.
Partners.
They're partners. You know, I kind of delight in that sometimes. Yeah. I think it's fun to be cheeky about it. But yeah, like, I think I really could have enjoyed it, but that kid was so annoying.
Birth control.
Absolutely birth control. Like, I just couldn't do it. I stopped it because she was so fucked. I said the same thing. There's that episode where they go see her mom. And I was like, listen, let's hear her out. Let's just hear her out.
Yeah,
like,
she might have had her.
She might have. I'm not saying I side with her. I'm just saying we should listen to her. But yeah, I think if the kid wasn't so annoying, I could have kept going. And maybe I'll finish it eventually. But I just couldn't do it. And it didn't grab me enough to want to push through my feelings about mm-hmm. the like annoying kid. So
yeah.
Which is a shame. Like, the character design was nice. The animation seemed good. It seemed like a well-produced show. Similarly, I didn't need it to be explicitly gay. Like, the subtext is enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, I am... I don't love children all the time, but like, I do think they're cute occasionally, and that just was like, oh, this is all the worst parts.
I mean, they
of
can't,
a child.
They can't all be Anya.
Yeah.
So. But no, you're right. It was just all the worst. Yeah.
Well, and speaking of Anya, this felt like a bizarro spy family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's literally.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we call a gay spy family.
Yeah.
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 Or like off brand.
And maybe that was unfair. Maybe we set it up for failure by like putting it up against Spy Family,
yeah.
Right?
They also knew what they were doing. I feel like with the cover art for the poster when they announced it, it was like they're all jumping in the air, and it's like, I don't know, there's something very visually, like, you know, I don't want to say reminiscent, but yeah, no, actually, yeah, reminiscent. Mm-hmm. It was reminiscent of Spy Family.
The Kirkland brand.
people with guns that kill people really graphically.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a kid mm-hmm. just in the middle of it,
just,
but
yeah.
But like the level of how immature she was versus
the
how graphic
was
it was,
kind of intense.
Because Spy Family doesn't even get that violent. It has violence, but it doesn't get like
yeah.
people's heads blowing up, and
yeah.
and then like a little kid being like, "Wee,
yeah,
wearing a big shirt, looking
yeah.
around, like I'm gonna cry, yeah." Because you know what? Yeah. Anyway, I think that's
all I can say for it.
Yeah. That's one.
One down.
One down. That's the big D disappointment.
Yeah. It had to get it out of the way, you know?
Yeah, no, that's
all
so
up
fair.
From here.
Yeah. Bud dads.
Butt dads?
Bud dads.
Yeah, that's a shame.
So next, is there a show that you regretted watching?
Yes. Absolutely. And like, so normally I would, if I wasn't interested in something, like I would drop it like I did with Buddy Daddies. But this one, honestly, okay, so I watched the Angel show that was, it's like the Angel Next Door Spoils Me Rotten, mm-hmm. which like, I was like, okay, like romance show. Got it. Cool. And I think I finished the season out of spite, like so that I could kind of rip it a new asshole to talk about it. But honestly, like, I think that's giving it too much energy. I like, mm-hmm. it's mediocre at best. It was not like, it was, there's a million other shows like it. It's kind of just derivative. It caters to this, you know, male fantasy of like, you know, reinforced gender roles. And like, it's just like, there's so many different shows that are exactly like this. The characters had no exposition. And if at all, they were kind of half baked, like there was no like real arc or change. And it just felt so, it was boring. It was just boring. And there is like, there is questionable like language, which is what I was like, oh, I can't wait to fucking talk about this show. But like, at the end of the day, it was just so fucking mediocre that I don't mm-hmm. have the energy to. But like, there is questionable language with like, it kind of victim blame me in a way where like, he will say, like, so there's the male lead and then the main character. And like, you know, he'll say things like, well, don't act like that. How do you expect me to react if you say things like that? Or yeah. So it's just like casual shit like that where I'm like, dude, all right, whatever. And I don't know. If I was like 11 and didn't have thoughts, I probably would have really liked it because it is just a romance show. Mm-hmm. But it was just boring. It wasn't exciting. And that's kind of it. It was just super mediocre.
Honestly, I feel like, too, when there's so much to watch in this world, if you have the feeling, why am I doing this?
Yeah. And honestly, a part of me is like, well, fuck, I watched all 12 episodes. I should rip it a new asshole so that I can not watch it for nothing.
Yeah.
But like, it was just so mediocre. And there's a million other shows like it. There's nothing really else to say. Like, it was pretty boring and disappointing. But at the same time, yeah. though, not disappointing because I didn't expect a lot. It was just not special or unique in any way. And it didn't really light, like, I don't know.
It was mid.
It was mid. It was fucking mid. And that's
bro,
it.
This show's mid.
Yeah. And so, yes, I regret watching it because I wish I had the time back.
Yeah.
It was just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that I was disappointed that I watched. Because typically I'll just walk away if I'm not into it. And then MK will finish it.
Yeah, I do tend to hate watch, but I just didn't have time. So anything that didn't interest me, I dropped.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of like a sunken cost fallacy, right? Like I've spent so much time on this. I have to keep going. Mm-hmm. Should we talk about My Hero next?
You know what? Hold on. Let me take a shot of this soju and we can.
Yeah.
You know what?
Let's talk
about it. It's about fucking time.
Let's talk.
It's about fucking time. And I got aboard this ship long ago. And I've said it a million times. The first three seasons, chef's kiss. Wonderful. So exciting. Love that. And I've been so disappointed with the last couple. And it's gotten to the point now where, you know, I can't say that I'm thrilled. But thank God other shit's happening mm-hmm. that's not just that fucking battle. I was already mm-hmm. pissed about the, like, brush over of the whole Lemillion thing. I'm still on the ride, and I'm gonna finish it out.
It's close. It's almost
close, because I know it's caught up to the manga. It's just like, okay, thank God this shit is happening now, because now I actually feel interested again. And not interested in the way that, like, oh, I wonder what happens, because I think I've had everything spoiled for me. I know we'll have a sidebar at some point, Josh, to talk about what I actually know.
So, yeah.
But, like, it's just, like, it's at a point now where I can't say they're handling. I don't know, because I still haven't really caught up on the manga, but I do know from people who have read it that the manga is a lot better. Like, it's more detailed, or it goes into things, I think, a little bit more than the show does, which, like, I can understand that. It doesn't repeat. Yeah, there is a lot of, like, the repetitive nature of My Hero that can be really annoying.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm happy that it's at the point that it is now, because it feels exciting to watch, but I can't say that I'm, like, invested the way that I used to be. Like, excited because it's something different, but not excited because of the way that they're doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. What are you going to say?
I was like, Studio Bones let me off this.
My wild ride.
Dude, the animation is not hitting for me.
And that, there's been a lot of comparisons online where people will show
the still of the
mm-hmm. show versus the manga panel.
It's a shame, too, because Bones does good work. They're just...
Yeah. Well, also, I feel like for My Hero, and this has always been my thing, is it for adults or babies? Probably to the very end of this show, that'll be my, like, question in front of me. That's like the carrot that dangles, is like, will I find out? Is it for babies? I don't know.
Is for babies?
Is it for me?
I like a lot of stuff that's for babies.
Yeah.
Same.
However.
Chewing on toys.
Cut the melon. I'm kidding.
Stop eating those erasers.
I like the baby sensory videos with the bouncing berries. You want to come down from a panic attack? Put that bad boy on.
We got colors. They're moving around.
Sensory Play-Doh.
Yeah.
I do think that... So I am caught up on the manga with where it is. I do think that it's absolutely in its final stage. I think that there is final... I'm seeing payoff. I feel like in a world where everyone's telling us to be patient for good things to happen... This is something that actually it has payoff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the spoilers that you have are, but I would definitely say that every time something happens, it always somehow gets beyond what the spoiler is.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like, yes, that, but, or therefore, this will happen. I do think that right now, what I like about the timing of this season... was like almost like intellectually, like the battle going on, it was more of an internal battle this season. This was like,
yeah,
like what is a hero, what's mm-hmm. the point of continuing when it seems, because it's like, oh, here's the hero world, it's easy being a hero, that's just the society. As soon as the society built around it breaks, then it's like you have to rediscover the purpose of it. And I'm like, you know, we're in a world that feels like it's breaking in certain ways, and it's like we have to rediscover the purpose of stuff, though ACAB includes Deku.
But bumper stickers made.
But like, you know, it's still
boy.
But like, this season is much more about internal grappling, motivation, and like, how do I find hope even when everything around me is fucked?
I think that is also why I was so happy. Like, my experience with the show was more exciting because of that. Yeah. Like, I was so over the whole battle. When people try to explain, like, oh, the League of Villains is this and this, I'm like, okay, shut off, brain, whatever.
Yeah.
But with this, it is much more, like, I could digest this in a way that was so much more real. And it is cool. It's also the joke that was Marvel and this was its DC season. It's much more darker and whatever, which, like, I like the whole vigilante thing.
I like Gritty Deku.
I like... Gritty Deku.
Yeah, he needs to take a bath.
It reminded me of that Suicidal Tendency song. I went to your churches, I went to your schools, I went to your Hero Academia, and you want to talk about my best interests? Yeah. It just made me laugh. But like,
yeah,
I can't say it was a little heavy. I can't say that I found Vigilante Deku intimidating at all. But the struggle was real. The struggle was there. And I think that, with all of the, like, societal elements of it,
mm-hmm.
I think that is what makes it so engaging. And so I'm just happy to be kind of, like, over the hill at this point of whatever the past couple seasons were.
I also think that I liked the whole kind of the way it wrapped up, where it's like, oh, you know, you really do have to depend on your friends. Because I feel like all these shows, especially the early seasons of My Hero, had the whole, your friends are important, they mm-hmm. matter. But all they did was they, like, introduced every character and then pushed them to the side for the, like, the special boys to do stuff. And I think that this was kind of putting their money where their mouth is, where they actually did have this moment where his friends saved him, because he's always been self-sacrificial to a fault, but he's always had support systems around him that have like been a safety net. And without that safety net, he really was driving himself to a point of no return. And his friends like pulled him back from that edge. And it
especially
felt...
Bakugo.
I was gonna say, we gotta talk about my boy.
Yeah, and it was just like, it was a nice like finally putting stakes into the stuff it's been saying all along.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think it was nice that there was the friendship element to it, because it was the first few. That was the whole thing of like, let's do our best together. We have mm-hmm. to, you know. But yeah, my dude. I've been waiting for that to be animated.
That was
for
really
fucking
cool
forever. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice to see that. Like, that was a payoff that I was like, okay, I am excited to see him say this and actually like call him by his name and not, you know, belittle him and whatever, and have him admit to himself. It was beautiful. Listen,
like,
we love,
useless isn't in my vocabulary.
I love a good character flip, and I can smell it from the beginning. And so I know we had Zuko. Okay, we got Bakugo. All right, look. It was. That was a very, very sweet moment.
You just like your fire boys with bad attitude.
I really do.
Except for Endeavor.
I don't like that man. Yeah. I still don't like what they did with him.
I did think Baby Hawks was so cute.
Oh, Baby Hawks, yeah.
Yeah.
So sweet. I was like, oh my God, the wit on his little Endeavor toy. That was so sad. I didn't know any of his backstory because I've had so much shit spoiled for me, but I didn't know his backstory and the whole, like, he couldn't get an All Might figure, so he loved Endeavor because that was like all that they could afford because it was cheaper or something. I was like, that's actually kind of so sad.
We've got All Might at home. All Might at home, Endeavor. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really good moment.
And I think they set up the stakes pretty well.
Yeah, for what's to come.
The Lady American.
Yo,
All Might that coming, was wild.
Just like,
way to end it.
Showing
I'm so like.
Like, she went off without permission. Yeah.
Very American.
Which also, that was a thing that I, like, had been wondering for a long time about, like, how... I mean, other than one of the movies that they had, I was like, well, it's not just Japan Hero Universe, it's Hero Universe. So, like, what about, like, if shit's going down in Japan, like, when do we start getting foreign forces to come help? Like, what's the deal? And so, getting Miss Stars and Stripes with her fucking all-American...
Just
busty.
Standing on a jet.
Just like, yeah, the jet.
Standing on a jet, like, yo, I was like, get caca! Like, yeah. Let's go, motherfucker!
Yeah. I do think the, which actually bald eagles sound pathetic.
I know, they don't. That's actually a hawk. I forget the kind of hawk, but it's a, is it a red hawk? That's the sound that they always use for eagles. Mm. Eagles don't sound like that.
But I think last time we talked about My Hero, that's what Hannah had said. Hannah was just like, where are the American heroes? Where's the foreign intervention? And like, here we are.
Yeah. MH6. MHA6.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. My homie's six.
My homie's six.
Did anyone else want to ask a question?
I don't know. I don't know if we're slow how we want to lead.
I don't know.
Oh, I have one more thought about My Hero before we leave. Before we step out into the streets from the academy, you know, they kick us out because we're a threat.
Fall out the ivory tower.
One of my favorite things about the finale for the season was Mineta's faces when they get back to the place, and he looks like just stoned as shit, just like sitting around, just like these, like,
yeah, you said
in the background
to the crybaby chat that were awful.
Faces were so funny to me because I hate that character so much that, like, seeing him just like kind of chill and mellow in the back, not doing anything, I'm like, now I like you.
They
you're
also
just sitting
kept,
there, like,
they kept
goofy.
The translation that you said that reminded me when he says, that's what made me fall for you. So it's like kind of now weirdly canon, I guess, that he's bi or something. Like,
yeah,
I mean, I don't...
he's just a horn dog
no matter who it is. Like,
he's just popping grapes for anyone.
Oh my god, he's a like fucking that. Diaper baby.
He's a diaper baby. Yeah, I
hate his ass.
I don't know, like, what audience he was made for, like, who designed him and was like, oh, this is the character for this
viewer. I don't think that he deserves to be at UA. How he got in is nothing short of a miracle.
He's a nepotism baby.
Yo.
It's also yeah. just like, oh, do we need to have a character to sort of represent the fan service? And it's like, and you want it to be him?
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy how other characters deal with him. Like, Kirishima is always like, that's enough out of you. And, like, Sarah or whatever his name is with his fucking mm-hmm. tape arms will, like, wrap him up and shit just to keep him from doing
So if he is the stand-in for the viewer, if this is, like, analyzing a classical painting and he's, like, the viewer mm-hmm. in the thing... Then yeah, he's the one that's constantly being told to shut up and like put aside. Like,
fans. Do have the worst fan base. So.
Listen, I think they've taken the title from Dragon Ball Z. There used to be a thing for Stinkiest a while fans. About Stinkiest, like, yeah, like washy ass,
yeah,
like Dragon Ball Z fans. But yeah. I think My Hero might come for that. And like, you know, not to say that like there's plenty of like female fandom for My Hero, but like I think that it's a show that really. With so much competition, they do such a bad job at handling female characters.
Oh, they do.
It's like, oh, here's like a silhouette of them naked, or like here's their butt in your face, like the big giant lady. Mountain,
oh yeah.
Oh, when she was, she had a stick in her ass.
It starts falling, yeah. and he's like, ah, the big butt's coming down on me.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be like it's someone's like, best day.
Honestly,
like,
I don't understand. Honestly, I can even deal with that kind of fan service here and there if they just had more well-rounded characters. We've said it a million times, but like, I just think. They did such a disservice to the female characters and their mm-hmm. powers and their capabilities that, like, if they had written them to their full potential, mm-hmm. then I'd be like, okay, whatever, fan service. It's anime. I expect it at least here and there. Whatever. I could deal with it. But it's just like rubbing salt in the wound when mm-hmm. they've done such a poor job at executing female characters. I will die on the hill that I think fucking Urataka Ochako, whatever, could have fucking been an absolute bad motherfucker.
Yeah, she could have been savage.
She could have been absolutely incredible with her quirk, and like they did her dirty. She even had, when she was doing her like internship program, like she learned how to fight, like she taken knives away from people. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah. And listen, like some of my favorite shows are Kill la Kill and Golden Boy.
I am a fan of
the service. Like, I'm not against it, but like when a show does it but then is so unclear about the maturity or thought behind mm-hmm. things, like if you just show it so emptily, then it might as well be one of those like how to pick up people in a dungeon shows, like when I don't know, there's just like somewhere it's very like so slapstick surface that, you know, it has its place mm-hmm. but like I don't know, especially
at that point
for...
it's just distracting. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
There was one show that I didn't finish that I do want to keep watching. I just didn't really have the time to, but the Tomo-chan is a girl or is not a boy. What is it called?
Yeah, Tomo-chan is a girl.
Yeah. That seemed really fun and really promising. And I think I only got like 4 episodes in, maybe. But I thought it was really cute and really funny, and I am obsessed with that one blonde character who the same uh-huh. voice actor who does the Japanese does the English. Like, I'm pretty sure she does. Is that the same girl?
That would make so much
That's
sense because
hilarious.
Earlier today we were watching a clip of her doing it, like the English, and I was like, oh my god, she's getting the tone perfect.
Yeah,
of the
Josh.
Japanese.
Josh was like, that's literally the perfect casting. It sounds just like the Japanese voice actor.
Hold on, let me look this up so I'm not talking out of my ass, but I'm pretty fucking sure.
That by my ear,
wow,
that would be
that's
correct.
Impressive, pup.
It is. It's the one person.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to make sure I didn't get it wrong, but yeah, it's the same Japanese voice actor and English voice actor.
Oh my god,
dude, I. Just like her cadence with how she does. I'm like, dude,
she's funny.
So fucking funny.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that fucking cool?
That's so fucking cool.
But yeah, I really like that. So I guess I will say my disappointment is I didn't get to finish it just because time didn't allow it. But I thought that was super cute. One of the ones that I think, even though overall this was kind of a mid-seasonal thing for me, this was the one that I got the flutters by. I was like, oh, I enjoy this, actually.
So Josh and I watched the full thing, and you absolutely should continue it. I loved it. It was such a cute and fun show. I felt very seen as the, like, aggressive, like, friend in high school that, like, was one of the guys, but also, I mean, I also didn't want anyone to see me as a girl, so, you know. But the funny thing, and I don't want to spoil it because you
haven't... It's okay if you do, honestly. It's fine.
I mean, I had, like, one major issue with the show, and it was the push that she should be more girly, right? Without saying too much, they kind of, like, talk about it. And
do they Breakfast Club her?
No.
Do they Ally Sheedy her?
Oh, there actually is an episode where they take her shopping and get her dressed up and stuff. And she, like, tries to, like, you know, flirt with him like that. But
it's not cringe, though.
And it doesn't, and it doesn't stick, you know. And it's almost like a proof that you can't force her to be someone she isn't. And it all kind of, the way it ends up wrapping up is very much like, that was an ill-advised approach. You're fine the way you are, you know, and it like my biggest caveat with this show, it was actually just a plot point in the and they ended in a great place.
Because that's the thing too, it's like for that show, it was one of the ones that I did not expect to pick up. I thought, and the name too is like almost, it sounds super conventional. You're like a rom-com, like, oh, Tomo-chan's a girl. Like, well, like what's it going to be like to be a girl? Great. But I feel like the whole show is about playing out bad advice that teens give each other, but learning in the process why the advice is bad or how to give better advice. And I feel like that's always fun for me, where so many things can just rehash the same point over and over again. And you're like, oh, look, another one of this. But it feels informative, where it helps be like, well, if you tried that, this might happen. And here's the things they learned. So you might have this now before you tell someone that. But also, I didn't expect to be into it at all. It was my favorite show of the season. It was what I was excited for. I would be like checking Crunchyroll, like, fuck, it's not updated yet.
It's not Wednesday. God damn it.
Wednesday night. I'm like, oh, the work's been shitty, but it's Wednesday night. It's time for Tomo. And Mizuzu and Carol, like the goth and the blonde, their dynamic is my favorite thing.
It's so good.
In that show. They're so funny.
I love the two of them.
With each other, because it's like taking Fruits Basket, Waves Girl, and then just giving her this like blonde, like she's like a, like just like a cream puff fluffy, like, ah, yes, like so good. I love them so much.
I'm really excited to finish it now
it's so good.
Yeah.
There's so much heart in it.
And it also, it's one of those shows that everything is presented to you up front. And you can just take away what's there. But there's a lot of, like, little stuff further if you read into it a little more. Like, how, like, Carol was a very lonely child, you know? And, like, and she kind of initially comes off as this, like, you know, fluffy, doesn't really know anything, stupid girl. But that's not actually how she is. And there's all these parts where, like, people are, like, putting her into headlocks or, like, pushing her, kind of being, like, physically... Like, I'm not going to say mean because it's all in jest, but like she loves it. And she loves being like touched like that, because it's like she was always lonely. So this girl putting her in a headlock, and she's like happy about it because she has friends, you know. And it's like that's all these like sweet little things that just are so touching, where these characters seem surface level but are actually really well thought through. And I think that's my fault for taking the show at surface level initially and not having expectations, but then getting blown away by like realizing how all the it really played on the assumptions and the tropes, because I expected it to be one way and it really just caught me off guard, which I think was a part of the effectiveness of it.
Yeah, I think that really helps drive it home, because I feel like once you're put on the back foot as the viewer, then the show has control. If you just feel like you're watching it the whole time, like, yeah, I know what's gonna happen, yep, okay, saw the pattern coming, like, then you're in the driver's seat. Whereas like if you get surprised and you're like, okay, what are you guys going to do? I don't know what you're going to do. Cool.
They even got me to care about the male love interest, which is rare. I'm like, they, oh, God, pretty, this stupid boy. I actually liked him. Yeah.
See, I wish I got to trade. I wish I dropped Angel and continued Tomo-chan. I was just so convinced I was going to, like, go off. But yeah, I wish. I'm excited that I know I have it on the docket. Mm-hmm. So I know I have it. Like, I can binge it, you know, this weekend or whenever. I'm excited.
And when we went to Anime NYC, they had, like, big banners mm-hmm. for it. Like, Crunchyroll was pushing it.
They advertised it hard.
Is there going to be season two?
I don't know.
It could have one.
It doesn't need one. But it could.
Mm. But it could. But I was so glad that, like, of all the kinds of shows that Crunchyroll's running right now, the fact that they chose that to be, like, a flagship show, I have a lot of respect for it. Because at first, you know, heading into the season, I'm like, Trigun. How is this not, like, the big thing? And then I'm like, after the season, I'm actually like, no, I think they chose right with Tomo.
Is Trigun the one with the baby girl character?
Yes.
That I sent you?
Oh. With Vash, yes, he is baby girl.
Yeah. Yeah, Vash is the babe, ultimate baby girl character.
The glasses, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. I have not seen a lick of that show, but that is a baby girl character if I've ever seen one.
Should we just talk about Trigun then?
Yeah.
I don't care about spoilers. You can say whatever you want.
And for context, Trigun was done by, like, Studio Orange, who's the same people who did, like, Beastars. So it has a little bit of that 3D computer motion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's, like, much smoother. Like, they're getting better and better at that style of animation.
Yeah. And honestly, I was pretty worried about that going into it. Because it... You know, it's such a, like, the original anime is such a classic of the Cell animated world that it's not even, like, that 2000s, 2010s where it's, like, the digital hand-drawn stuff, like Kill la Kill. It's all hand-drawn, but they'll just click and drag the objects around it, you know, so it still has digital in it. So it went from fully analog to being fully 3D CGI. Huge difference. But Trigun, to me, it's not my favorite anime, but it's one of my favorite stories. And so for, like, a little bit of context for listeners, because, you know, I hope at some point we can actually, like, do, like, a full episode on it, because I have a lot to say about Trigun in general. But so this series coming out, Trigun Stampede, obviously a different name than the original. And you're like, okay, it's going to be different. I was under the impression that it was a remake. No.
Oh.
So something I had as an experience going into it, I had only seen the original anime. Came out in 1998. When this show started coming out, I started reading the manga. There's 14 volumes of the manga, or technically 16. There's Trigun Volumes 1 and 2, and then 14 volumes of Trigun Max, which it's not separate. Literally, it was a studio thing where the publishers were like, you have to change the name. So it's just a name change. Mm-hmm. The story just continues. And both Max and Trigun were what they used for the original show. But reading the manga while watching the new show made me realize how the original anime had a lot of faults, too. And I didn't know about them until I got more of the story and more angles of it. I think that the manga is my favorite place for the story now. But the new show, like, heading into the new show, I was like, it's going to be a remake. We'll see what they do. Oh, that character's really different. Oh, they just gave away endgame stuff in, like, episode one.
Yeah, they, like, were, like, dishing it out, like, real fast.
They were from the original anime, like, stuff revealed in, like, episode 23. They were putting in episode one just, like, right away. And you're like, I'm not even invested in these characters yet. How are you doing this to me? Like, what? One of the things that essentially is a spoiler that I don't necessarily want to get into is that it helps set up the world building for the original anime. I think that's what Stampede does. And, like, it helps you, because a lot of the things that I'm watching it, like, pissed off, like, why did they do this? Why did they get rid of, like, this kind of thing that was so important in the show hadn't happened yet. And so it's a build up and you're like, oh shit, I see what they're doing. They're not remaking the original. They're kind of helping recontextualize leading into the original. Because the original just kind of starts. And like, because the original anime actually came out while the manga was coming out. So it's kind of like a Game of Thrones where it veered off, or and I guess in this context, more of like a
Full Metal,
where it's like, oh, what do you do when it starts to, the publishing is really close, which almost My Hero's in that territory for Danger,
yeah,
where it's like, it's close. It's still like, it's ahead, but basically, like, I think that the new series, don't go into it with the original in mind. This, and you know, this is for you, dear listener. If you don't see Millie, if you don't see all the things that you love about the original show, I can't say all the answers are satisfactory, but it's worth it. It's worth sticking through it. I think that in certain ways, and I think in important ways, the new show actually handled certain parts of the world building better than the original, which I would not have thought I'd say. Like, there's a lot of, you know, the briefest synopsis of Our Baby Girl, what's going on with little Vashy boy. There's two brothers, and they're essentially not human. Like, they're made in this sort of science experiment. They're called, like, Independence, which are, like, planet Earth gets destroyed. Everyone goes out in space, and it's this thing called Project Seeds, where they're trying to replant civilization somewhere else. And they make these humanoid things that are, they look like people, but they have the powers of generation and can, like, create energy. So they need the energy source. And basically, like, crash land on a desert planet for some reasons. And the whole show takes place on the desert planet. And so it's like this battle over the plants. And like, there's like, people are being cruel to them. Like, should humans continue? Should they be destroyed? What's the purpose of, you know, civilization, despair, hope? Like, all that's going on. But I think that the new show actually gets a lot of the complexity of the plants and the brothers, the two brothers, a lot more in this show. In the original, you don't see Knives until, like, that's Vash's brother, Knives, or Nye, I guess they call him. You don't see him till, like, almost the end of the anime, the original, like, at all. Whereas in this, he's, like, in it from the beginning and a part of it. And also in the manga, they're a lot more like angels, which is, they don't do in the show originally. And, like, there's a lot more of it in this, which makes me hopeful about where it goes. Because at the end of this season, they announce that it will go into, I think it's called, like, Trigun, like, final phase or whatever. Basically, this show starts off, he's a $6 million double dollar bounty. And you're like, that's low. Like, what the fuck? He was $60 billion in the original. And then stuff happens. And then the new poster for the second part is him with the $60 billion. So there's a lot of things that that change from the beginning of the season to the end that you're like, I see what they're doing now.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, it was literally the final episode where it all clicked. And it's like, they're doing this as a prequel.
Yeah.
Like, it legit was like, everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. They're setting it up as a prequel.
And yeah. Yeah. And there's, like, a couple episodes before the end that I think was the first sign to me that I was like, oh, this is what's happening. Where, like, one of the characters, I'm like, oh. And again, this is the kind of thing with my complaints being addressed in the plot,
mm-hmm.
where I'm like, oh, the original Trigun, it's like two strong female characters, like, in it. And this, one of them is not there at all. They replaced, like, a woman with an old drunk guy. And, but there's a reason for it. And one of the other characters, my complaint was, I was like, why is she so, like, timid in this? Like, she's so weak-willed, where normally she's so strong and she has, like, guns and stuff. And this, she has nothing. And then at a certain point, she gets one of the guns that she has normally. And you're like,
she experiences trauma. She gets a gun. She's a changed lady.
This is the buildup.
She experiences some trauma, gets a gun.
Yeah.
What happens next will shock you.
Yeah. America 2024. yeah. So
I guess you could say this was the biggest shocker for you.
It's crazy because it was such a roller coaster. Because, like, the original, like, and even just, like, the stuff behind the story, like, gets me worked up when I think about it. And I get all like, ooh, because also I think that if I had, like, an anime gender, it would be Vash.
Baby girl.
Because Vash is a baby girl. Because he's the soft one. Like, Vash is, like, the, like, Like, we should trust.
I've seen the pictures. I've seen the TikTok edits.
Like, we should trust humans. Like they're great. And then the brother is like, nah, fuck those, like, ants. They're disgusting and they destroy every planet they go to. Like, we should kill them. And Vash is like, no, we should live with them. And he bears their scars because they always attack him because he's this strong thing. But he's trying to save them. And then the brother. So it's like, you know, it's a. And the manga, I think, is just really. If anyone hasn't read it but wants more of that world, definitely go for it. I know that I saw on Reddit they did like a fan translation called Trigun Ultimate that they like fixed some of the subtitle, like the translations. Mm-hmm. And that you can get as like a free PDF. Because again, I would love to tell people to go buy it. You can't. It's out of print. It's out of print. And like, the omnibus, I saw a collection of the omnibuy. There was like five of them. It was like $900 on like eBay. And I'm like, all right, y'all get the PDF. Like, wow. Fuck, I don't know what to tell you. Or I think it was Dark Horse that published it. Hey, Dark Horse, if you listen to our modest podcast, put Trigun back in print and Maximum. Do it.
Please.
If I go to Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, MK's like, this isn't a threat.
Yeah. That's that would be me baby girling in Barnes and Noble and just crying if I see Trigun on the wall. It was what I was most excited for, but Tomo-chan actually beat it for actual playing out excitement. Because I thought that's...
But for shock, or at least the most surprising, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it just didn't move me the way I... Because also the thing is, when it's such an important thing to me, mm-hmm. you almost put so much... And this is why Chainsaw Man was incredible.
An exception.
Because it met your excitement and built on it. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, it met my excitement. But I think I had to do so much like intellectual work throughout it to be like, I'm disappointed this episode. Mm. I don't know. Maybe I should think of it this way. And like had to think through a lot of my stuff. It wasn't visceral. Where I was really hoping I would just be like, you know. There was maybe only like one or two episodes where I like tried to look away from MK.
I gotcha.
like, don't look at me.
Dear listener, his eyes are a little glassy.
No, yeah. Not even stoned, man.
I meant with tears.
Yeah, I'm just stoned with sad.
Oh, my.
I mean, it sounds like this was a surprising thing for you, at least with the prequel stuff. I mean, maybe I'll watch for Baby Girl. I don't know.
It's good.
But I was definitely surprised by one show this season, which I definitely did not expect because I am not a huge fan of period pieces. However, maybe it's all the Zelda, but I've been really back into my fantasy phase. That Sugar Apple Fairy Tale was so surprising to me. It had... Like, originally, when I was watching it, I remember texting UMK about it and being like, yeah, like, it's low stakes, but, like... The fairy's beautiful. It's a hot dude to look at, and it seems sweet and low stakes, and like it's a cute Saturday morning thing that I watch or something. Huge cliffhanger for the end. Yeah. So much so that I needed to Google if there was a second season. Yeah. I was so shocked. I needed to know what happened next.
My jaw was just hanging open, and I was like, that was not the final episode.
I know
that was not the final episode. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, this cute fluffy show, and I know how it's gonna end, and you're like, what?
I thought it was a one season, and same thing, I thought it was Buddy Daddy style. You get this one season and you're gonna like it, and you're gonna know how it goes and whatever. And then the final episode, I was like, wait, is there another episode? Is this not the last one? And then I got scared because I didn't know what I don't know what the response was to this show. So I was afraid that they were building to a second season, but they weren't going to get approved, which is why I Googled it, and it's going to happen. There will be a season two. Mm-hmm. But like, a fucking cliffhanger that I did not expect to be as invested as I was.
More invested than I thought I'd be.
Yes, I'm so much more invested. Vulnerable. I do. I was like, how dare you do this to me? What the fuck? Get him back.
So, like, for someone who didn't really watch it, like me, it sounds like an isekai Food Wars.
Oh, my God.
It's not isekai, and it's definitely not Food Wars level, because no one's fucking coming their pants when they taste this fucking pastry or whatever.
There's no fan service.
No one's coming?
I mean, not yet.
Someone's going, and that's someone's the problem.
Someone's going. Oh, that is okay. The issue.
Okay. Yeah, they basically, yeah. Without giving too much away, the you know, the main character and the love interest get separated due to circumstances. And
due to circumstances. Due to circumstances that I'm like, oh my God, like, it's so sweet. But I'm also like, no! Like,
yeah, it's heartbreaking.
It is.
It's one of those shows where it's not an isekai. It is a kind of like a, it's vaguely period piece because it's like, oh, it's, you know, there's dukes and lords and a king, I
but
guess.
But it's fantasy
and,
for sure.
And it's fantasy, yeah. And fairies exist in the world, but fairies are a subservient race that have been conquered by well, they're not subservient. They've been forced into servitude. They've been conquered by humans. There was a king and a fairy who were like besties back in the day, and there's some drama there, and like a false narrative has been produced over their relationship to make humans and fairies fight each other. Classic power trope. But this little girl, she's a sugar artisan. She just wants to make her delicacies. She wants to
make her mom proud.
Yeah, her mom passed away, and she wants to make this really good sculpture to send her mom's soul into the afterlife. And she meets this fairy, and like, you know, they strike up a relationship. They continue on. I mean, it starts off rocky because she does technically buy him, mm-hmm. which is kind of like
Yeah, so it's like their wings are their, not currency, but like that's how you own them, because they'll rip off one of their wings. And so like if you possess their wing, it's like, well, you have their freedom in your hands, literally. Mm-hmm. And so like, I mean, she does the whole thing where she like makes a promise. She's like, I quote, bought you to get you out of that situation. And if you'll just accompany me on this journey, I will give you your wing back.
Yeah, she's
to
like,
you.
Get me to that city safe.
And that's
and
it.
I'll
like,
set you
I don't care. It's fine. Like, cause like the whole thing too is that like, since, you know, the fairies have been like forced into this like subservient role or like second class, you know, citizen or whatever you want to call it, like sort of a place. Some people like don't like fairies and are like intentionally really like cruel to them. And she's not like that, obviously. And she loves fairies and it's the whole thing or whatever. And so like that plays into it too. There's also like different kinds of fairies. So like the male lead, I guess, is like a warrior fairy. Even though he looks like a companion fairy because he's that fucking hot. And then there are like these like worker fairies that are like actually really tiny. I will say all the names are so fucking silly to me. Yeah. Like the little fairy Mithril Lilith Pod or whatever
Mithril
the fuck.
Mithril Lily Pod.
So weird. And then also like all the names, like they get to this one point where like there are all these other sugar artisans. Sammy Jones is one of them.
Yeah.
And Keith. It just makes
There's always a Keith. Keith. There's always
dude,
a Keith.
I was laughing so dude, the whole Sammy Jones thing, I was dying laughing. It was funny, but yeah, I did not expect to give a shit. I was just like, oh, this is fun. I'm super mm-hmm. into fairies and all the magical elements, and obviously there's a little romance, so I'm mm-hmm. gonna be into it. And yeah, I did not expect to care that much, but that final episode, I was like, you're joking.
And I have such a soft spot for the like dark, gloomy
oh.
and ganky positive combo
when
of
he calls
like
her Scarecrow all the time.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
And the opening song is like always in my head.
Okay, I was gonna say I'm not gonna vote this as best OP because I didn't necessarily like it, but holy
catchy.
Fucking shit. It just gets in my head. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even... It's like walking on sunshine. As soon as I hear the first like, bit da, of it, da, I'm like, da, fuck! And da, it's in da, my head da, da, for 3 days.
Da, da. Yeah. Yeah. It sticks there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely was my shocker of the season. I did not expect anything and just thought it was super, you know, oh, it's fun to look at. And even towards the end, like you said too, like the production value or the animation got like even better.
There was
like
one episode specifically where it was directed so well. Like I was like, this is dramatic. This is moody. I am feeling things. And I mean, I think we had been out drinking. That might have been part of it. But like I came home and I sat down and I watched it and I was like, holy. And I immediately texted Liv. I was like, this episode was like a totally turnaround, like, because some of the episodes in the beginning felt a little cheap, but this felt so rich, like, fantastic.
Yeah, huge unexpected turn mm-hmm. to actually be invested in the show, and now I really can't wait for season 2.
Season 2.
Yeah, huge shock, honestly.
So we've mentioned production value on a couple of shows. One that I really liked the story but the production suffered a bit was The Fire Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
It similarly kind of period PC where it kind of feels like it's in this like industrial revolution-y phase of a city, but it also has a post-apocalyptic feel because you kind of find out that, oh, mankind did evolve to the point of having heavy machinery. Something happened. Humans are now basically allergic to fire. Like if they get close to it, they combust.
Whoa.
So losing fire, you know, civilization sort of collapses and they're slowly building back up. But there's all these like other elements. There's these like forest creatures. There's other kind of humanish, but we don't know what their deal is, people. There's these gods that are seemingly lower than, like, you know, the Christian Judeo idea of a god.
More like Greek gods, where yeah. they're like amongst people fucking mm-hmm. things up.
So there's like
fuck yeah.
all that going on, and there's this little girl, and a fire hunter saves her but dies in the process, and he has like a sickle and a hunting dog, and he's like, she's like, I gotta return this dog and this sickle to this guy's family, but it's dangerous to travel. So, you know, it sets up this whole adventure. It's this whole really interesting lore, really interesting world building. But they just, like, didn't have the production quality.
The budget was not mm-hmm. there, maybe?
It felt like it was... It didn't feel like an original anime, as in, like, the material... It felt like there was material to draw on.
Which there was. It's from, like, a light novel series.
Yeah, like, it mm-hmm. definitely never felt like... they were just pulling for ideas. Everything felt thought out. It felt rich. I thought the sound design was really mm-hmm. good. The music was really cool. But there are just so many little, like, oh, the color of that dog's eyes keep changing every shot. Or, like, things are tracking weird. Or, like,
oh, no.
Like, it's that kind of production. I mean,
there was a scene literally where...
The continuity's messed
yeah,
up.
There, yeah, there was a guy, like, who was, like...
Oh, bound
spiked
to a
up on a tree, like Jesus, like crucified, like he was up on a tree, and they show him from a different angle, but they didn't adjust him, so he's like his hand is like attached to the air, you know, like
yeah, and he's like stuck to the tree, and you just it's just like little things
damn.
Like that,
or
yeah.
like one of the characters' eyebrows kept not being filled in, and then it get filled in, and then be not filled in again.
And
so.
And to be fair, when it comes out to Blu-ray.
I'm sure they'll fix it.
They'll probably fix that kind of stuff. And this was more just the experience of us watching it weekly. But like for as rich of a world that it was building, and it felt really, and I thought the directing was cool.
Mm-hmm. But the whole point, the look of it, if it doesn't support it.
It wasn't on that same level.
Well, and it did a lot of the in-frame photos. So like where there's a scene, say they're overlooking a forest, and rather than showing the characters walking in the forest, it'll just be an up close of one of the characters' faces superimposed over the forest talking. And that's a classic way to animate cheaply. Like it's like we can't do all the full animation. I'm not against it. I think it's a interesting creative move. It can be done tastefully. I think it adds to the storybook feeling. Yeah, it's like ping pong.
Yeah, ping pong, totally, with the multiple, like, mm-hmm. oh, here's a frame in picture while something's moving in the background.
Oh, and Toilet Bound Hanako-kun did that as well, like a lot of that kind of, and I think it's nice. I don't dislike that, whether it's a production choice or a directing choice, but it definitely, it was slightly distracting at times.
Yeah, no, definitely. That was definitely the, where it had its drawback was mm-hmm. like, because it had the textural richness of like either Girl from the Other Side or Children of the Sea,
mm-hmm.
where it was very like the line detail was really cool. Like they did a lot of like freeze frame kind of shots that were hyper like colored pencil mm-hmm. drawings of like dramatic stuff. But it really built itself as such a high quality production that when it had those inconsistencies, it really stood out. Because sometimes it's like the dog had white in its eyes. Sometimes it was like just the fur color in there. Sometimes so like little things that you almost like laugh at the goofiness. You're like, look at the dog. Like look at his face.
Yeah, why is
like,
he making that face?
Yeah. Like, so it had that kind of stuff as drawbacks, but. There's probably going to be a second season.
I hope so. I mean, it
stopped abruptly too.
Yeah,
right?
It just ended. It was one of those, this can't be the end. And not in the way where Sugar Apple, you're like, it was, wait, I want it to, I can't be left on a cliffhanger. It was like a, wait, that's where you're choosing to end it? That feels weird.
Yeah. A little mid on the
I still keep using it. I hope there's a second season though. Like I really want to know what happens. Like the way that there's like a comet coming. There's like a comet coming and like something's gonna happen when it comes, and is it a satellite from the previous age of humanity? There's like all this stuff that kind of got suggested.
So it almost has like a, with like Shinsekai Yori, how it's like you're in villages, but then it's also like there was a modern civilization years ago.
Yeah.
And so like they find ancient sketches of planes and they're like, what are these? Like, oh, this is weird. And like, so it gets the steampunk where it's just steampunk without fire. So it's like you get rid of the steam, you know, like it's like sans steampunk. Like, cause the energy source is like this kind of blood that comes out of beasts that they concentrate it, and that's the fuel. Instead of like just burning shit for
interesting
so it and like there's certain clans that built resistance to the fire so they can use fire, and like that threatens the other humans that can't, and so it's got a lot of like dynamics to build on, so it hopefully it doesn't stop, because I enjoyed it. It was it had its weird glitches, but like I liked it.
And I'd have to say, if it never gets a second season, because this is something where I'd be more scared, because regardless of reception, they weren't given much money in the first place or much resources in the first place. If this doesn't get a second season, I sure hope that the novels get translated to English, because I'd love to read the novels then, because it's a really cool story.
Yeah. Yeah. I also, they did a thing that I liked too, where certain like chapters or episodes, they would frame inside the episode where it would just flash someone's name on the screen and then it would be like following them for a bit, and then it would flash a name, and then it would follow them,
like when you read a book and it's like, oh, this chapter's from this person's perspective.
Yeah, so it does that a lot. I thought that was good. I feel like if I have a list of a lot to catch up on, it's not going to be at the top. But I do think if you want kind of like that more somber, just more like meditative, slower burn, no pun intended. Fire Hunter, yeah.
Well, I mean, so we have the fire show, and then we have the ice show.
Yes.
Which I believe MK watched.
I watched the first episode too.
Okay, you did. Okay.
I E1'd that.
I will say, like, just first and foremost, like, the name of that show, it's not long enough to be funny, like how some anime shows are like, oh no, I dropped my backpack in a demon world and now I have to pair up with this Pikachu to get it back. Like, you know, like, that's funny to me. But this was just, like, the most, it's like, Ice Guy and his cool female colleague, even if cool is a pun, I was like, okay.
Yeah, it's like oh, what if a boner's a blizzard?
Literally, he says, stop, I'm blizzarding. And it makes me laugh so hard because I'm like, yo, okay.
Like, they really it's like, oh, anytime you have a feeling now, it's just anytime literally everyone's aware.
Yeah. Or aroused. Yeah, exactly. It's like
flustered.
Yeah.
Like, it's flustered.
Again, another, like, no pun intended, slow burn, but also not, again, very mid. I didn't hate it, and I wouldn't even say I disliked it. It just was like, oh, okay, this is a show that exists. I think there were some points that I thought were kind of funny. Like, I did like some of the characters, because, like, I liked the Phoenix guy or whatever. I thought the little snowmen that pop up with their little voices, and they're like, Ina, good morning. Oh, my gosh. Like, I thought those were cute. I thought that was fun. But, like, okay, whatever. It was kind of sweet. I don't know. It was not my favorite, but I didn't dislike it. There were cute things about it. Like, I like when he gets excited, besides the fact that he's blizzarding.
Getting blizzy.
That he does that thing where he, like, I guess, like, dialect-wise, like, he's, I guess, from, like, the South or something. So, like, when he gets super excited, he's like, oh, heck, I can't wait until, like, there's all, like, in the subtitles, you'll see, like, the in apostrophe or something. He'll drop the ings of things, which I thought was sweet. And I just, you know, it's sweet. It was sweet. You know, you're rooting for them to get together, I guess. But it was not, like, super exciting. There was one thing in the last episode that I watched last night that was, I kind of did that thing with my dress-up darling where I was like, oh, am I going to not does this discount any enjoyment I've had?
Oh, no.
Well, so, oh, like, so you didn't finish
I didn't finish it.
Okay, okay. Do you care if I spoil this?
Okay, go for
so,
it.
Like, so did you get to the episode where, like, when he gets a fever, he gets really hot, he melts? Mm-hmm, and so when he melts, he turns younger.
Oh, yeah, he
younger.
Becomes a
he
little
becomes,
kid.
Like, a little kid. Mm-hmm. Which, like, that one episode, I was like, oh, that's interesting.
But she went and,
like,
got him popsicles,
and she got him a popsicle,
and he went
and
back
like,
to
oh,
normal
that's
size.
Sweet, whatever.
Yeah.
In the last episode, basically, like, they have to go on, like, an overnight business trip together, and he, I guess, gets sick and gets a fever, and which is what, it is the sick episode, but it's not in the way that you think, because so he gets a fever, but he can't go back to normal with a popsicle because it's an internal thing, so he's stuck being a little kid, but there's this, like, one point where, like, so they have separate rooms in this hotel, and she's like, hold on, like, just come to my room, like, I'll get you, like, a cold pack, or I'll get you whatever. And so, like, but when they're, like, getting ready to get settled, because I think, like, they have to work on a report, too, so she's like, it's okay, I can work on this while I'm in the room with you, but, like, he, like, because his clothes are all big on him now, he, like, trips, but, like, onto her, and then, like, he's on top of her on the bed, but, like, he's still
he's
a
little
kid.
Oh.
And she, like, blushes and shit. It's just like, yo, that's so weird. And, like,
yeah.
Why are you blushing? Like, I know that this is the guy that you've been crushing on at work, and that's not – I get that. However, that's so weird, and I just don't think in that situation – You I don't think that you should be blushing. Like, I get who he is to you, but that's just too weird. And I think that that situation overrides whatever sort. It was just, it's like they just, like, gaze into each other's eyes, and it's like, like, stop what you're doing. Like, it's so weird. And yeah, and then I kind of dipped out after that. I didn't really pay a lot of attention, also because it was late and I was tired, but, like, it was. The rest of the show is really cute, but there was that one moment where I was like, yo, I don't know if I vibe with this right now.
The funny thing, too, is one of the things that I liked about it, even though it was kind of understated and it was, you know, just going along, there weren't really high stakes. It was just like this, like, low-key, cute show, but not, like, amazing or anything. But it was like, wow, yay, a romance about adults.
Yeah, I did appreciate
you know,
that.
But then it's like, oh, but now he's
but
a little
now
kid.
He's a little kid,
like,
yeah.
No.
But no, I was like, oh, yeah, office workers. Fuck yeah, they're all adults. Like, they're all in their, like, mid to late 20s. That's awesome. And also, I think we talked about this before. Her cat's name is, like, a pun. I can't remember what it is, but it's, like,
is it Nyanko?
It's, like, Nyamin or Nya. Something.
Nyan or something like that?
No, it's not a double, but it's just, like, Nyas at the beginning of it, so it's
my brain sweet. Mixes them all up.
I know.
Oh, wait, Nyanko was in Chainsaw Man.
Nyakuza?
Right. That's funny, but no. I don't know, but I just thought that was cute. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it was...
Yeah,
that's how I felt about it.
Yeah.
And I don't care if there's a season two or not of it.
Shows with adults. Way of the House Husband. you know, like when you're at a restaurant and you, like, know what you're going to order and then they ask and you have to look
and
at the menu
at
again.
Menu.
You're like, I've been preparing for this. And you're like,
me when I
blank
have
brain.
To like put something in the oven, I'm following directions and I throw the package away and then I immediately go back
to the garbage.
I'm like looking at it on my phone, Way of the House Husband. And then as soon as I looked up, I'm like, what was I going to say? Yeah. So Way of the House Husband, adults, an adult anime comedy.
Adults, one of which loves anime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, specifically
otaku,
just some magical girl show, but
yeah.
Funnily enough, I only ever watch this show when I am doing chores and house things. I didn't watch the full season of this, but it is super funny. But again, such a low stakes show.
It's so low stakes
that it's fine and I can put it on as kind of background noise. I've actually watched, I think, the dub more than I do the sub just because I'm doing things when I watch it.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, one thing, though, for the sub, it's got Kenjiro Suda.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is that...
That's my dude.
I know. Fluttering.
And in the live action...
I'm blizzarding. Fuck.
My blizzy. the live action has Kenjiro Suda acting as him. So there's
a live action
playing him. So that's one thing to know. I haven't watched it, but I do know it's him.
Wow.
With that show, though, I mean, like, it's so low stakes. Out of so many anime that are dramatic and like, oh my god, is that character going to make it to the next season? What's going to happen? You know everyone's going to be okay. You know things are going to work out. You know that it's not about like whether or not they keep the house running. It's like they're just digging into such specific hyperfixations that like, oh, we have to figure out how to like arrange flowers correctly. Or like we have to like figure out like what makes the perfect donut. And like things like that, that's what they spend their time doing. I love. Also, you know, not embarrassed to say, I'm a bit of a wife guy myself.
You are. We've established your baby girl.
I'm a baby girl. I'm a bit of a wife guy. And so I love Tatsu. And I'm the one who's like, you know, I've been working from home and like I'm around cleaning up, doing food stuff. So like I watch the show and I'm like, yeah, you clip them coupons, you find them the sales. Even though MK is the one who's better at sales than me.
Yeah.
I'm like, we'll pay full price.
Yeah.
And MK's like, no.
I like slap his hand. I'm like, we go to CVS. I have a 40% off coupon.
Yeah. And I'm just like, it's in front of me. I'm going to get it. But there's still something about that character that it's like they pretend, like they make it. The joke never gets old that he's a former Yakuza, speaking of Yakuza.
Oh, no.
And like it's always on that level of like the boss and what are we gonna do and make a deal and like we got the goods, but it's always like this very simple stuff. Mm-hmm. That
it's always just the groceries that he got that day.
Well, it just never gets old.
And the setup that's it's you're so like simple. You were like it's low stakes, but that's the joke too, is they set it up to be such high stakes.
Yeah,
like and then
yeah.
And they zoom intense. Out and it's oh, the local neighborhood association is planning what to do for XYZ. Uh-huh.
Or like they're doing a poetry outing and like they have a haiku off, like who can do it better, and like it's like all these tough guys being like, yeah, like we're gonna figure this out, and then just yeah, but I mean, it's one of those shows that I think it's kind of, it is what it is. Like, mm-hmm. I think that it's not the best thing in the world because there's plenty it can do to.
But it's kind of, it's low key iconic.
Yeah, and I think it's done enough with what it has. Like, it's simple.
It's fine. If anything, I think, I mean, this second season was shorter than the first season.
5 episodes.
But there definitely was a little more animation. Like there was more movement. I think the first season used a lot more of the still frames. So they built on that, but it's, you know, it's continuing to do what it does well.
Yeah.
And it's also popular with the cosplayers.
Yeah.
With that little apron and a little toothpick and stuff, a little scar on your face.
There you go. That's for upcoming cons. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, you know, it's, it's just a perfect like, all right, I'm gonna have this, like I'm having this today. Mm-hmm. It's simple, there's no real surprises, it's just enjoyable. Yeah. Which, you know, you need those shows.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of just enjoyable, we got our second attack.
Oh yeah,
of Nagatoro,
and the final show we're talking about.
Saving the best for last.
Because MK can't handle any more about Nagatoro.
Because you're just going off about it all the time. Oh my god. It's just nice to see, like, because I read the manga. So it's just cute to get to see, like, stuff that I had read it so long ago. And then I would watch and be like, oh yeah, that's when this happens. Or like, oh, I forgot he does do contacts this time. And Josh texted me at some point being like, also just realized that the voice actor for Senpai is Deku. And I was like, yeah. It's also why I loved it. Because, like, you just get to be like, oh.
Yeah.
Get him all flustered.
I know.
Yeah, and I think that was the thing, like, the parts where Deku gets flustered, that's where it's like, oh my god, that's who this is. Mm-hmm. And, like, Deku is a little nerd.
So nerdy.
And at least in this, Senpai's not a cop.
Yeah, Senpai's not a cop. He's just an artist.
Deku. Not off the hook. But, one of my favorite ways that they draw Nagatoro is when she's like the like long black silhouette with like the wavy arms and just the big like eyes.
Love that.
And I feel like that happens so much in the season, especially where they replace the club president with her like younger cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And they do like the dance, the squiggly off kind of thing. And I'm like, I loved that in the manga. And I'm like, yay, they did it in the show. They pulled it off.
It's just so sweet. We said it before. It's one of those surprisingly wholesome shows that, like, it's definitely cheeky. It definitely has fan service or whatever, but like it's surprisingly so wholesome and very sweet and cute, and it's just fucking funny. Like I think it's a super funny show. I think if I had to pick, I didn't pay attention to a lot of it this season, but if I did have to pick like the best opening, it's that one. I think it's the same. I don't know if it is, but it sounds similar to the intro song from the first season, which I really, really liked.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was super fun. And it's just like crazy and loud. And it's just fucking fun. It's a good time.
Yeah. Is that the Easy Love Night Date?
Yeah. It's just, it's super sweet. And it's just so nice. Cause like reading it is so sweet and so cute. And it's just, it's that thing of when you get to see certain scenes animated, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those things that I feel like it always reminds me, it's the perfect show. If you have friends that are into shows that you want to talk them off of their cliffs that they're on. If you have a friend who's into Rent-A-Girlfriend and it bothers you that they're into Rent-A-Girlfriend, try Nagatoro.
Yeah. Walk them off the cliff with Nagatoro.
Slide that a little over and be like, you know, do your third eye blind with them and give them that. Cause it's like, all right, there's actually like building up that goes on and people actually like supporting each other's interests and versus just like, that's one of those shows where it's like, I'm a big dumb baby and all these hot girls somehow flock to me, even though I'm always a dumb baby.
Yeah. I know that was your whole thing about why you loved Nagatoro so much. I guess same thing with Dress Up Darling. There's like a goal or a collaboration of some sort that is goes towards making something. Cause like there is, even though this is like a slice of life romance, there is still some plot or like some sort of, you know, a thing, but it's stinking cute.
They're working on themselves. They're improving each other and improving themselves. And like,
well, and this season, what I like is that Senpai, you get this season, they really explore Senpai positively influencing her with the judo club stuff.
Yeah.
And like, so you get to see the kind of boomerang a little bit come back where he's pushing her to do things where the whole time was just her picking on him to, you know,
to get
better.
Yeah, get better, get out of a shell.
Yeah. And, you know?
Yeah.
That's advice to you, listener. Get better. Get out of your shell.
Get better, do better, get out of your shell.
Like and subscribe to the podcast.
And we'll bully you more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a...
Well, that covers most of the shows.
Most of the winter, yeah. I know we didn't get to some. There are some little things.
Hannah wasn't here, so we weren't going to talk about Bungo Stray Dogs, but we watched that.
That
continues to be a wild show.
Yeah. Well, and also the beauty of that kind of stuff, you know, dear listener, if there's something that you didn't hear us cover or you have different takes, there's a Discord for Crybaby Anime Club. And, you know, reach out to us and we'll get you into it.
Yeah, reach out to us and I'll leave you on read.
Ooh,
yeah.
I'm kidding. I don't join the Discord, so I won't even see it. Besides Discord, we have other socials, I believe, that you can follow us on or like us on, such as Instagram.
That is crybaby_anime club.
A TikTok.
At crybabyanime.
Is there anything else?
I mean, there's Twitter. A Twitter, but I don't use the Twitter. Twitter's gross. Everyone's mean and they keep changing it. And
yeah, Twitter's been
I don't understand
lately.
What's happening. It's not worth it.
Well, thank God I never had one.
Yeah. No, better off, I feel like.
It's messy.
So, well, feel free to follow us, like us on any of those social platforms. You can also...
And just like me generally, please.
Yeah, like us, please. We hope. We crave your validation and affirmation, reassurance, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then... I guess we'll see you back for spring.
And you know, and a book club coming up. Or, you know, the book club.
The book club.
Air
the,
quotes. The
what should we call
really
it?
The anime club. I don't
the
know.
Anime club. The main. Yeah. The main. So I guess you could say these episodes are like our...
The seasonals are the...
The seasonals the side hoe. Are the side hoe.
Oh, my God.
But the book club is just the main arc. These are like our one-off movies.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Delete this, Josh.
Make your own canon for what it's worth, you know?
I guess we'll close it out with the cry scale for any of these. I gotta say, hot, fat, big 0 for me on my end. Except maybe for Sugar Apple Fairy, I have shed maybe a scale of three of tears because I didn't expect to be left on the cliffhanger.
I think I was shocked. That didn't make me cry, but it made me like, what? Mm-hmm. What? Trigun did make me tear up for sure.
I thought I was going to be like really weepy with Trigun. It didn't get me over the full ledge into like Lost world. Gotcha. It does a lot of like emotional edging.
Emotional edging.
You know, it like gets you worked
it's
up,
like
but
more
it's
like
not
a squall
yeah, like
a blizzard.
You don't like you're not bawling, but like it gets you like pretty like, oh my god, like I feel like
the
you get
the choked
tightness.
Up a little
you get,
bit.
You get the tightness, mm-hmm. but you don't get like the like, you know, like I feel like Japan Sinks was one of like
I can't even talk about that.
That was like final episode, just hard to see the screen.
Don't
but
yeah.
like
I can't you know, even
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let's hope that there's more criers in the spring season.
Yeah. I hope so. I am ready to hurt.
Oh, actually, and I guess a little bit of announcement for the book club episode or anime club episode. We already have that title decided. Desode. That was it was Hannah's pick at the end of last season for people who remember. And then it just never, you know, we never landed on it. But when we come back with that episode, it's going to be Sunny Boy.
Woo!
Sunny Boy!
So get your...
Sony Boy.
Sony Boy. Hannah keeps calling it Sony Boy.
I know.
get your thinking caps on. Maybe go in with an open mind. Be a little David Lynchian when you're watching.
Oh,
where it just,
I'm so excited.
It gets weird, but...
Yes. I mean, but we're here for the weird.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're absolutely here for it.
That yeah, and that one's very good. Yeah.
Fuck
all right.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I love you too, babies.
Love
maybe
you.
We'll be back with the rest of the crew in the next episode. But thank you so much for listening. And spring has sprung, so go enjoy those blossoms. Go
those
enjoy
those cum trees. Get a nice whiff.
Yeah.